Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter and my blog when you get there. You can do both of those right there on the homepage. You can click on the link that will take you to where you can subscribe to the newsletter. That comes every Sunday by email, once a week, now in our seventh year of doing the newsletter. And then we have our blog, which you can also find on the homepage, where you can subscribe to that by Real Simple Syndication, and it will come to you Monday through Friday. We give you Saturday off. You'll be happy to know we don't bombard you with anything on Saturday. But you can enjoy it or not. It's up to you. But it's all there for free and for the taking. I hope you will take advantage of all the stuff that we have there. A lot of good resources that'll help you out, including a number of very, very important things that Ellen Frankenberg has said to us over the last more than 8 years. Actually, it's probably just about, I've got the dates here somewhere, I'll find it in a minute, where Ellen Frankenberg was one of the very first guests on our show way back in 97 when we first went on the air. Ellen is a family business psychologist. She specializes in family business. She's a family psychologist, I should say, who specializes in family businesses. And she's the author of Your Family, Inc. And I don't know anybody who knows more about how to help family businesses make sure that they sort through all the family stuff and the business stuff and wind up being productive in both camps. She's our good friend. Ellen, welcome back to the show.
Good to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back. And by the way, if I didn't say it, I meant to say Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. Ellen, but I've known her a long time. She says I can call her Ellen. Ellen, what's the family business landscape look like out there?
Well, it remains 80 to 90% of the U.S. Business economy or family held. One-third of Fortune 500 companies are still family controlled.
One-third.
If you shopped in a Walmart lately, have you stayed in a Marriott, have you driven a Ford, major companies are still family controlled. They're the incredible part of our economy, and I think we all have a stake in their success or failure. There are huge numbers of them now in transition as the World War II generation, very prolific entrepreneurs, are now in their 80s, and so their estate plans are being finalized, and some are saying that there's as much as $10 trillion that's in transition from the critical second to the third generation.
That's a big leap there, isn't it? It's not so much from the first to the second, but the second to the third, that's a big one, isn't it?
I think siblings have a pretty good chance of being decent business partners, but when you get to cousins
and grandkids,
and you have grandkids of the founder, and you have several eldest kids and several youngest kids who were spoiled, and several eldest kids who are used to being in charge, the dynamics get pretty interesting.
You know, I know quickly. I'm thinking of two, and I probably could come up with a bunch more, but I know of two family businesses that are now in their third generation and thriving, doing very, very well, and I'm so proud of them, Ellen.
Right. I think it's a wonderful thing when it works well, but it takes some time and energy, I think. It's not going to happen by accident.
One of the companies is 46 years old, and the other one's probably more like about 70 years old.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool, isn't it?
There's a company in Cincinnati that I'm going to mention. It's called the Verdon Bell Company. And they are about, I think they're the 49th oldest company in the United States and now being run by a seventh generation of cousins, three cousins.
Wow. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Right. So they make bells and carillons and bell towers, which is a kind of a perennial product. You know,
right.
Who doesn't like to have a wonderful bell ringing in the town square or the church? But that's a rare example.
What have these companies done that have led to their success that we can learn from?
Well, I think they do communicate. It comes back to that. They spend time working on their issues together. They have a commitment to the company. They have shared goals. They're willing to work hard. They've maintained a work ethic. They have ways of solving problems of conflict, of managing conflict. They deal with conflict in a direct way. And each one has a niche. They have some special... In the company I was referring to, one of them, the leader of the company, is a very dynamic salesman, even though he's also the head of the company. Another is involved in production. And the third is more of a technical individual who looks at the newest developments and the innovation. So they have a defined niche, and yet they communicate, and they all have a strong work ethic.
You know, another thing that that I've seen in this family business is that I've noticed that especially the third generation ones that I've seen that are one of the reasons they're thriving is the second generation folks have made sure that the third generation folks have had the 21st century training and perspectives that they need to survive nowadays.
Yeah,
they spent the time and the money to get them the training that they needed. And none of the family businesses I know who were at that level, that stage of their lives, and beyond the second generation, has there been a patriarch who, you know, whether it was the second or the first generation, who said this is the way we've always done it, or we don't truck with that newfangled stuff. It was none of that business. It was always, you know what, we got to survive. And I'll tell you what, the two that I indicated a minute ago, both of them have had significant, just monstrous pressures from huge multinational organizations that have been competitors who've moved in, and they've outlasted all of those guys.
Right. There's an organization in Europe, Jim, called Les Henochians, named after the prophet Enoch, who supposedly lived 1,000 years. But they had four characteristics. They stuck to their basic product range, and they were mostly foodstuffs and that.
Right.
They recognized and appreciated their family history. They were able to fire incompetent family members.
Wow.
And they promoted the most talented and most competent people within their company.
Ellen, hold on to that thought. We've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to ask you how you do that. How do you fire a family member? It's not easy, because it's not easy to fire a non-family member, is it? 20 after. Stay with us. Dr. Ellen Frankenberg is our guest. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great time with our good friend, Dr. Ellen Frankenberg. Her book is called Your Family, Inc., Practical Tips for Building a Healthy Family Business. And folks, if you have a family business, and most of you do, even if there aren't family members directly working in the business, if you have a business and you have a family, you have a family business. Now, that's my definition, Ellen. I don't know how much you agree or disagree with that, but I think you'll agree with me when I say that all those folks need a copy of your book, and I want you to tell them how they can get it.
Well, you can go to our website, www.frankenberggroup.com, or just give us a call, 513-729-1511, and we'll get it on the way to you.
I appreciate that very much. And Ellen, you were talking a minute ago about firing family members that didn't perform. How does that work out?
Well, I think very carefully. And I've been involved with several families who've reached a point where they've had to do that. There's one great story about a youngest son who was goofing off and liked to play golf every sunny morning, and the dad warned him, and finally he called him into the office, and he said, you know, you've showed up at noon once too many times, and this is your last day. And uh, it's it's not working out here. However, your mother and I are having a little cookout on Sunday afternoon, and we'd like you to come over and share with us your plans for your next career. That's kind of a...
Wow.
That
Boy, that's cold.
That's right. But that was... that's
probably the best thing.
Decision, because he remains family, and you want him to be family, but it's not working out in the business.
And I bet you anything that turned out to be the best thing that could have happened to that guy.
That's right. And if you think about it, if there is a family member who's slacking off, and he is let go or she, guess what's going to happen to the morale of everybody else in the company?
Yep.
It's going to go up.
Well, not only the morale, but the attitude, because, you know, I'm thinking, okay, if he fired his son, you know,
right.
if he fired his son in about 2 days, he's going to take about 30 minutes to fire me.
Yeah. Now, what I usually recommend...
That put the wind in everybody's sails after that, didn't it?
It does. we do a 360 review and with our companies when there is a question about a family member or any other employee. And that means that we have a short inventory that includes items like performs tasks on time, works well with other employees, goes beyond the requirements of a job, items like that. And we ask the individual to pick 5, 6, 7 individuals above that he works, he reports to, that he works with, or that he supervises. That's why it's called a 360-degree review. And ask them to fill out this form on the family member and then mail it to me so that it can be anonymous. And then we compile those results and feed it back to the individual. And so we have data. If you're going to let go a family member or any significant employee who's been there a while, I think you need some data. It can't just be
subjective,
a whim, or, you know, one bad day. There's got to be some data. And we feedback the 360 review to the individual. And in one case I worked with, he got devastating results from all the people who worked with him. And we gave him a chance, let's try to improve this over a 3 to 6 month period, and then we'll repeat it.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't improve, this is not the right place for you. And
what happened?
He was let go.
That's the guy that was let go. Okay.
One individual was let go. Another person I'm working with right now is turning it around.
Mm-hmm.
He got the message, and he saw the black and white information, and the dad was serious about it.
So you're saying that when you have the data in front of you,
yes,
that if you can't respond to the unabashed, unabridged data in front of you, that is an indictment or an acquittal of your behavior. If you can't deal with that, then you know, and move and make adjustments, then that's pretty much the verdict, isn't it?
Right, but it's all behavioral data. People can change behaviors. They can decide like an example, and one item is shows up for meetings on time. People can make a choice to change it. It doesn't say anything about attitude or things that are hard to measure. It's observable. Either he showed up for the meeting on time or he didn't.
Right.
And he can get his act together to figure that out, you know, or maybe there's an extraordinary situation, but it's observable data. Completes tasks on time. Either they did it or they didn't.
Sounds like my report card in third grade.
Right.
We don't want to go back.
It's a little bit like that, but
we don't want to go back.
People below the individual aren't consulted, and yet they're the ones that know the most.
I was thinking about that, and I broke out in a cold sweat there, Ellen. Ellen, give us your website again, please.
www.frankenberggroup.com.
You can find her book there. Also, folks, in Ellen's Position in Our Brain Trust, there's a resource section there that will link you to where you can find her book, too. Your Family Inc., and she will also help you with Your Family Inc. If you want to go to her website, give her a call. Thanks, Ellen, for being here. Good job. Thank you for 8 great years.
Thank you.
And we'll see you. Have a great Thanksgiving. See you next time. Quick break, right back with Gary Moore right after these messages, 29 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.